Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Daily Sales On Demand for CEOs podcast. I am really excited to be here with my friend, Maria Wendt, who is a seven-figure business coach for female entrepreneurs and also the founder of the Get Clients Now program. And Maria is just an absolute powerhouse in what she does. She has absolutely positively exploded her business in the past couple of years. And I'm just really excited to be here with Maria and to tell her story because I find it really fascinating. So Maria, say hi, introduce yourself.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. Super pumped to be here. Yeah, excited to share my story because I think it's one of hope and possibility. So I'm excited to get down into this. And, you know, you're awesome as well. We've been friends for a while. And anybody listening to this podcast, you know, I don't even need to say it, but it's worth repeating. You know, just awesome, awesome lady who is also rocking it in her business. So I am just as excited to be here as you are to have me.
Awesome. So tell us everybody your story, because you just like literally packed yourself up in the middle of a pandemic and moved you and your husband across the country. Tell us a little bit of like your backstory and how you got to where you are.
Yeah. I think my story always starts at the very beginning, in the sense that I like to tell the story when I was just getting started and I had just started my business and I was at the grocery store and I tried to check out and my card got declined. And I had I literally couldn't pay for my groceries. I had to put the blueberries back so my order could be completed. So I could literally pay with what I had. And that moment, while it was so embarrassing in the moment, God bless the cashier lady that tried to make me feel better about it. That was the moment where I got really resolute. And I said, you know what? I'm going to figure this out because I'm tired of living like this. I'm tired of being stressed at night. I'm tired of not having enough money. I'm tired of going to bed at night knowing that the next day my bank account's going to overdraft. I'm sick of this. I've got to figure this out. I can't do this anymore. And that's the beginning. And I love to share that part of the story because, you know, yes, now I'm running a very successful seven-figure business, but people put that on a pedestal and they forget the 8-year journey where, you know, first year I made $63.22. They forget that point from my first year of business where my card was constantly overdrafting and my account was overdrafting. And I was putting back blueberries right and left at the grocery store to now 8 years later, where I am running a seven-figure business with an awesome team. And I know we're going to talk about that. And so I like it when people ask me to share my story because it gives me the opportunity, not just to talk about the seven-figure business, but to talk about the beginning when I had $92 when I invested in my first business coach and all of those other beginning stages, because it's the full picture.
Yeah. I love that. And I love that story as well. So bring us up to date, like even just the past, it's been like the past 2 years that things have gotten like real for you guys.
Yeah.
And like totally realized your dream of living in Southern California, which I have watched via Instagram and through the entire winter in the Midwest, was very jealous of your adventures.
I was living in Delaware before I moved to California, so I get it. It's nice to have my first California winter. So really the move to California and that sort of, I guess you could say, up-leveling of proximity and location came about two or three years ago. I took a trip out to California for the first time. And again, living in Delaware, it's about this big and there's nothing that goes on there. And I just somehow knew that I was going to live here one day. And so I called my husband and I was walking on the sidewalk and I said, we're going to move to California. We're going to do this. And we decided to. And this is a true story. Where I was when we made that phone call and made that decision is exactly across the street from where I live now. And that wasn't planned. I was across the street. I was looking at my future home when I was on the phone with him and made that decision. So it took us about 2 to 3 years to work to that, make that dream a reality. There was, you know, he had to quit his job and we had to figure all of that out and start his own business and get that up to a point where we could feel comfortable doing that. And I had to work on my own stuff. It's not cheap living in California. So there's a lot of little logistical things that had to fall into place. And it took us about 2 to 3 years to make it all happen and kind of all come together. But yeah, it's been awesome.
I love that. I think that's amazing. And I think it's really great. So talk a little bit about what you do in your business in the Get Clients Now program.
Yeah. So the Get Clients Now program, really simple name, basically tells you exactly what we're going to help you do. We help new entrepreneurs get clients. It's really that simple. When you're just getting started, you're an awesome coach or, you know, service provider or whatever it might be. And you clearly have a zone of genius, but maybe that doesn't include marketing. Maybe you don't know exactly what to do. And so what we do in the Get Clients Now program is we give our students a custom game plan for getting clients, a little daily checklist. If you do these things, you'll be on track to hit your income goals. It's a very scalable program. We have almost 1,000 students go through it at this point, and we have a 98% success rate. So we've really kind of nailed what people need to do to get a lot of clients quickly.
I love that. And, you know, as you know, in my previous business, you know, working with the brand new entrepreneur was my jam as well. So I always have a very special place in my heart for that and for teaching that and understanding you know, the work that goes into that. And, you know, everyone's like, oh, you know, I want to work with entrepreneurs. I want to work with more experienced entrepreneurs, but like the baby entrepreneurs are like where the biggest transformations happen. And I don't know, used to just like set my heart on fire every time somebody figured something out that like totally changed their world.
Yeah, it's the newer entrepreneurs are often the most misunderstood and underserved, target demographic. A lot of people love to work with the more advanced entrepreneurs, but as you said, you've got a special place in your heart for it. And that's what you need. You need the heart of a teacher in order to really help those new entrepreneurs go through. First 2 years of entrepreneurship are the most painful up and down years of growth. And so you need a good mentor to get you through those couple years so you don't quit. So I like to hear that you feel the same because I think it's needed.
I love that. So let's talk about your team. So we were chatting before we hit record and you have 5 full-time people inside of your team.
Yes.
So who are those people and what does that look like?
Yeah. So right now in person, we have about 5 people that come and they work out of we have a decent sized house. So we kind of all work out of my house. It's the blast. You have to fit in here with the like team culture because we're all kind of on top of each other. But everyone that works here is just super awesome and a lot of fun. So we have 5 people that all work out of our house. And then we have another, let's do the math on this, another 13 people that work remotely. Half of those are independent contractors and half of those are full-time people. So I would say we have about 6 or 7, maybe 8 full-time people. And then the rest are independent contractors who work remotely and part-time. Yeah, it's a blast.
So what was like, where in your journey business-wise did you finally start hiring team? And whether, Maria, that's a contractor, a VA, what was that like in your trajectory?
Yeah, it's a really good question. Let me tell you before we get into this, I've made every mistake you can imagine with the team. So my team, God bless them, have really been growing with me. So I am an expert through painful trial and error. So we're just going to start this whole conversation off saying. But I hired my first VA, I want to say maybe two or three years in my business. And I wasn't pulling in a consistent income yet at that point. And so my husband and I had to sacrifice a lot to afford that first virtual assistant to help me for a couple hours a week. We had to, you know, we stopped eating out, stopped like all of our subscriptions, we canceled. We dug really deep because I knew I needed help. And my only regret is that I didn't do it sooner because that first virtual assistant for a couple hours was the first step in me running a real business. And I didn't know it at the time, but that's really what happened is I started thinking strategically. I was like, oh, I can have my do this. Well, I guess that's going to help me generate more money. So you start thinking differently as a business owner when you have a team member. And so, yeah, we had to sacrifice. We had to dig deep in order to make that happen. But I regret not doing it sooner because I think I would have seen even more growth than I'm currently experiencing because I did wait 3 years to do that.
I like that it's just the identity shift, right? Of like, I'm no longer just this baby entrepreneur trying to navigate this on my own, but here I am actually running a business. And, you know, Kelly Roach, my business partner, same story, right? She was working full-time growing her business. She had like 1 VA that was like a college student, like 3 hours a week. You know, I think I paid my first VA like $150 a month to like schedule my social media content. But it does. It's that moment when it's like, okay, you don't feel like you're so in it alone. You know, that sort of stuff. So let's talk about in order of like your hiring, because there's a lot of questions we get around. When do we hire who? Like, how did you prioritize those roles in your business, Maria, especially in such rapid growth?
Yeah, it's a good question because most of the growth has happened over the last 11 months. So I'm doing great, but we've really seen that dramatic shift from multiple 6 figures to 7 solid in the last 11 months. And so it's been bananas and it's been particularly rough with the team. So again, I've learned a lot of this with the mistakes I made as we scaled really quickly. And I think it's important. I'm going to answer your question, but I think I do want to say one thing about that. A lot of new entrepreneurs, including myself, who are scaling and experiencing rapid growth, they make the mistake of throwing people at a problem. And that's one of the big things I did. Rather than building out a good system and being an intellectual and smart with our hiring decision, we're overwhelmed. We have 18 things at once. Somebody's mad at the clients are mad at us. Somebody's yelling at us on social media. Like we panic. And so we throw people at a problem rather than breathing and taking your time to properly hire. So I would say that was one of the big mistakes I made. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that is because the way that I did hire is different than how I would do it again. And the way that I now hire, and this is, I think, a big aha moment that I had, is I hire to buy my time back. So instead of hiring to say, I'm going to, it would be nice to have somebody helping me with my social media, or, it would be nice to have somebody helping me with X or Y or Z, and you add new things to your business. Instead, what I've learned to do is look at my own calendar and identify which are the least, the tasks that need the least personal attention from me, or have the lowest return on investment in terms of my time for money. And so that's how I hire now, is I hire to buy my own time back. Because if I can have an amazing assistant help me at, you know, at XYZ hourly rate, and that frees me up to do tasks that might be worth $3,000 an hour, well, that's a good exchange on my time. And so that's not what I did at first. At first I would just hire to solve 80,000 problems. Now I look at my calendar and say, what tasks that I'm spending time on that I really shouldn't be, and I make hiring decisions based on that. And then on an even deeper level, I do the same thing with my team. One of the new assistants we have working with us actually today is assisting my sister slash the marketing manager, who's now removing things off her plate so she can be using her time a little bit more constructively. So that's how we do hiring decisions now.
Yeah. I love that. I literally just recorded a video around that idea of like doers versus thinkers, right? Like the first people that we hire for us are the doers, right? The people to go do the things. And now it sounds like what you're doing with your marketing team and the up level is now we need people thinking at the level that you think, right? Like I know that marketing is your jam and that's what you're really great at. But obviously, like, you know, having your marketing manager in that role where she's thinking and making decisions and being strategic, A, it buys you back your time, but B, also gives you that space, new space to think and be creative. And I think that we underestimate the power of that. Like we're like, oh, we just go without like, no, like you're creative. Like you're a visionary. You need that time to create, like to create things in your brain, to come up with good ideas, to, you know, really vision cast for your team. So I think that that sounds, you know, totally in line with our philosophy on hiring as well. So, you know, your biggest challenge, you said, is you were throwing people at problems. And I think we see that a lot. I love that you pointed that out in rapid growth companies where we've been told to delegate. So you're like, great, I'm just going to hire this out. And without a full understanding of the implication on the bottom line, which I think gets a lot of people in trouble.
Or the return on investment. I'll tell you, like one of the biggest things we had was like, all through the racks because I've got 80,000 fires I'm putting out because my business is just 5X and I don't know how to handle it, right? And so that's another thing is like, not only do you have throwing people at a problem and, you know, how is this going to affect the bottom line? But you have people just sliding in under the radar because nobody's managing them.
Yes.
Yeah. So what all the mistakes.
What's the growth trajectory? Like how big does the team get? Do you have kind of your next couple of hires laid out, Maria?
So no, because we just hired, like had you talked to me a week ago, I would have said yes to assistants to come and work with us in person, but we just finished hiring for that. What my kind of philosophy now is once I bring on two people, like one or two people, I like the whole collective team to breathe for 90 days. So we don't make any hiring decisions after that. We just collectively take a breath and get acclimated for 90 days. And then we start to look to what is our next hiring decision? Where are we hurting the most? Because I feel most team members, at least amongst my peers and the mastermind that I'm in and whatnot, their team members are underutilized. And that's something that I've learned is that your team can take on way more responsibility than you think they can. Likely as team leader, you have a control issue. And so we like to really give ourselves 90 days to acclimate to the new team members. We all breathe. We all see how we can work together and what our strengths are and how they fit with the team. And then we look to hire somebody new.
I think that's really smart too. And one of the things that we teach a lot in the academy and that Kelly teaches as part of her kind of curriculum is the 4X method, right? Which it sounds like that same idea. So the idea of your people should 4X their salary, right? If you're paying somebody $40,000 a year, you want to make sure they're paying for themselves times four. But it sounds like you're that same thing of not underutilizing your people. And we actually just recently made that shift too, where I was like, I need a thing. And then I was like, let's go figure out. And like in digging in with my team, I'm like, between these two people, I can shift this.
Exactly.
This person. So
bingo. Exactly. Well, and you know, something that I always find to be interesting, you mentioned the 4X rule. What I find to be really interesting, and I don't know many people that hit that in the entrepreneur world, because I think it's a little different than the corporate world. But I found it really fascinating that in the average corporate company, they look to have each, for every $100,000 per month that your team brings in, you should have one team member. So if I'm bringing in $500,000 per month, I'm supposed to have five team members, which I think is interesting because I am, you know, I'm nowhere near 500K per month yet. And I have way more than five team members. So, but I just find it really interesting. Like, I think the bigger the company gets, the closer you get to that metric. But I always keep that in the back of my mind. Like, all right, you know, careful with your team. Don't get it to be too big because we made that mistake once and I don't want to do that again. Yeah. I like little teams. I'm a big fan of little teams now.
Yeah. It's very true though. It's that tightrope, right? Yeah. Like you need the people for the growth, but you don't want to wind up top heavy and It's a constant. It's a constant tightrope. I think that we wear that hat as business owners for sure. So,
and I think that's what the 90 days. That's what the 90 days helps us do to assess where we're at. Yeah,
right. Is the growth in line with the additional investment we're
exactly.
making?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So one of the things that Marie and I chatted about right before we pushed record that I wanted to make sure we covered before we wrap up was, you know, as Social Sellers Academy, we work primarily with, you know, high six, seven and eight figure entrepreneurs. And she was like, well, you know, the statistics are nowadays that it's, you know, like 1.7% of businesses or female owned businesses actually hit that seven figure mark. And, you know, how do you, you know, what are your thoughts on that from a sales perspective? And I was like, you want to know what's really wild is that when I was outside of the bubble, I thought that there were very few seven-figure entrepreneurs or business owners, you know, to call on or connect with. But now, like, as I get inside of that circle, now I feel like everywhere I turn, there's awesome women like Maria and the other people we've interviewed on this podcast who are crushing it, right? Like, the gal I interviewed last week just hit her first $1 million month. Like, it's just crazy town. And it's the proximity, right? It's the idea that we talk all about is, you know, you are who you surround yourself with. And so what seemed so far away and so hard to attain, now, like I said, everywhere we look, and as my team is, we're connecting and building relationships and enrolling people in our programs, it's like, holy cow, like there's a ton of really cool, successful people. What has that experience been like for you, Maria? Because you said like the majority of your growth has been really wild over the last 11 months. I know you're in a mastermind.
Yeah.
You just opened the door. You know, what's that look like for you?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. I mean, we all know that principle, right? We're the average of the sum of the five people we spend our time with. And so to me, it makes sense that as we up-level, that we naturally are around other people that have also up-leveled. So I don't think it doesn't surprise me. What it does is it puts my heart on fire to bring more people up with me. That's what it does. It's like, to me, like the statistic that we shared for anybody who wants the full one is that of all the business owners that hit seven figures, only 1.7% of them are women. And that, you know, as a woman that's done that, I'm very proud to be part of that 1.7%, but I'm also really tired of why is that 1.7? Why is that low? Why? And so I love what you do. I think it's really important. And to me, when I hear that number and when I think about that, yes, I'm surrounded by amazing women who are successful. Now it's my turn to like turn around and help bring other women up and turn around and share what I've learned. And that's why I talk about my beginning and all the like normal people things that happened to me way back when I started, because I think it's important to see that, yeah, there's Maria, super normal girl from Ohio who, you know, defaulted on things more times than she's proud to admit, who has been able to figure it out. And now I'm really on fire to turn around and show other people how I did it. So yeah, I think it's a great question. I think it's a great topic. You know, that 1.7%, how can we get that up? And I think it's conversations like this. It's people like you and I who turn around and show that to those who want our advice.
I love that. And thank you for clarifying that statistic. And
yeah.
I think that's wild. And like I said, it's so fascinating to me what has happened in online entrepreneurship since, you know, I've been a part of it and the opportunity that's available for the people whose hearts are open to it. So
I think it's awesome. I think we've never lived in a better time, especially for women. I mean, I have all these stats, especially around women entrepreneurship. And so I would just say like the time is now, the future is now, like you get to do it now.
So Maria, where can people come find you and connect with you? You do such an excellent job on social media. What's your favorite place?
Thank you. Yeah. I think my Instagram is awesome. Like that's a place to go. It's always popping. My Instagram story is always, we're just doing like a team takeover today where my sister is taking over my Instagram story. So you want to go to maria.went and that's spelled W-E-N-D-T. So maria.went, that's my handle. You can also just search Maria Went on Instagram and I'll pop right up. And yeah, there's a lot of really helpful free resources, a lot of fun content. So I'd love to see you over there.
Perfect. Well, Maria, thank you for your time. Thank you for being here. Thanks for a very honest and vulnerable conversation. I appreciate it. And we'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for having me. Such a pleasure.